My people are broken, hurting, scattered, confused. This is not where we thought we would be. Taken from our country, taken into exile, out of the land that we were promised. All that had been was no more. And the very foundation that we had built our nation on was completely destroyed. To be fair, things had started to get pretty messy. We weren't faithful to the covenant that we had with God. We had built idols and put things before God that we knew were wrong. Many of us ignored the words of the prophets that were spoken to us. Prophets spoke judgment, but we thought, we're God's people. God's not going to judge us, surely not. It didn't seem something like God, what God would do. And yet, God has punished us for our unfaithfulness. And now we learn our lessons the hard way in exile. Many of our people are still stuck in Jerusalem, oppressed under the Babylonians. The rest of us, now exiled out of our homeland, live in Babylon. Tradition, place of worship, food, all of the things that were familiar and things that we held dear are now gone. We long for the land that was given to us, the land promised to us long ago to our forefathers. We long to be back in the city and able to worship God in the temple. But the temple's no more, demolished. Obadiah's words have just been spoken. A word from the Lord. As he's spoken these words, the reaction of those around me is mixed. Some are confused. Some only more hurt. The images spoken are a vivid reminder that we are here and not there. They remind us of being taken completely advantage of by Edom, those just over the mountains from us, those that were once family. We've been in conflict for them for many, many years. Whenever we've gone to them or asked to pass through their lands or tried to approach them, they haven't helped us and have turned us away. But to fully understand the relationship between us, we need to go back 1,000 years to a tent, to our forefathers, Abraham and Sarah's son, Isaac and Rebecca. Rebecca was childless, something which seemed to run in the family. But Isaac prayed, and God helped her to become pregnant. And while Rebecca was pregnant with twins, the Lord came to her with a prophecy. Words that spoke of the two boys inside her becoming divided by pride. Words that announced there would be tension between these brothers, that they would become two nations that were separated. And as soon as Rebecca gave birth to Esau, her first son, it was clear that this word of the Lord had come to pass. Jacob grasped Esau's heel on the way out, a sign that he would one day deceive his older brother. And as the boys grew up, it was clear that Isaac loved Esau more, but Rebekah loved Jacob more. And love that's divided like that between parents and family is never a good idea and just a recipe for disaster. In a moment where Esau chose to satisfy his own hunger rather than being faithful and holding what was most important to his fathers and to God, he gave away his inheritance and his birthright to his brother Jacob. Birthright that would have been rightfully his. And then when Isaac, his father, came to his deathbed, the moment where Esau should have been given his inheritance and his birthright and blessed by his father, Rebekah helps Jacob deceive Isaac. And instead, Isaac blessed Jacob. The covenant that the Lord had made with Abraham that passed down to Isaac now went to Jacob rather than to Esau, as it should have been. Despite attempts at reconciliation between the brothers, God's covenant people would now be in us, Jacob's line, rather than Esau. And Esau only grew more bitter. And so as Jacob fled from his family in fear of his life, he wrestled with God. And out of that, God renamed him Israel. And Esau was known as Edom. And so two brothers that were divided by pride and deceit became two nations equally divided and bitter towards one another. The pride that Esau showed and the pride that Edom has just been judged for by the words of Obadiah also remind me of another man and woman, the first man and woman, our first ancestors, Adam and Eve. In the Garden of Eden, humanity was supposed to flourish. We were given all that we needed. We walked next to God every day in intimate relationship with Him. It was paradise. But human pride saw us separated from God. Adam, whose name means exactly the same as Eden, was deceived by both Eve and the serpent. In his pride, he thought that he knew better than God. And as a consequence and as protection, he was sent out of the garden so that he wouldn't be separated from God forever. The relationship that he and Eve shared with their Creator was broken. They were warned not to touch the fruit, and yet when tempted, they thought they knew better. It's a striking comparison to where I find myself today, exiled from my country, so full of pride that I thought I knew what was best for me and for my people. But more importantly, now exiled from the presence of God that was in the temple, I no longer have connection with God because of my sin. We've seen it time and time again in our history. We don't seem to learn from our mistakes. When we don't choose the person who's created us, the one that we're designed to be in relationship with, then we have to suffer the consequences of that. Our sin separates us from God. It creates barrier after barrier between us and Him. The consequences of Adam and Eve's pride has just played out in centuries to our descendants today. And so as our enemies, the Babylonians, moved towards us from the north, we looked to our neighbors, to Egypt in the south, to the east, but no one wanted or came to help us. And worse yet, the Edomites looked on with glee as the Babylonians took advantage of us and all that we had. They smiled as our city was ransacked and destroyed. The temple, Mount Zion, the very presence of God with us, was destroyed and looted. The place of our identity taken away from us. Our place of worship brought to the ground. And to rub salt in the wound, as we were exiled from our homes, our wives and children in tow, the Edomites pillaged and plundered all that was left. Those who came from the same bloodline, those who we share descendants with, family, came and took advantage of us. Right when we were at the mercy of the Edomites and the line of Esau, we were stripped of all that we had as we went into exile. They gloated and laughed at us as our enemies took all that God had given us and provided us with. And Edom handed any of us that tried to escape back over to the Babylonians. Many of my family still oppressed by the Babylonians. Life has been completely turned upside down. Someone else lives in our homes. We don't have the freedom to live as we did. It was judgment we knew was coming. The prophets had warned us that our unfaithfulness to God would result in destruction, yet we didn't listen. As we left our city gates in the middle of the night, the Edomites slaughtered us. They entered our gates and they cast lots for all that we had left. The words of Obadiah have been confusing for us to hear. Hard to stomach, and given the exile that we live in, I struggle to see how the Lord our God is in control. Where was God when our homes were taken? Where was God when our place of worship destroyed? Where was God when Edom came in after the Babylonians, taking advantage of us and our judgment? Those who once family left us with absolutely nothing. How could this be God's plan for us, his covenant people? How is the situation we're in an example of God's faithfulness to us? But God has spoken. And when God speaks, things come into being. Obadiah's words remind us of the hurt that we know all too well. But they are also words of encouragement. Words that point us to the way in which the Lord will judge Edom for its actions. God has spoken, and God will judge. The pride and deception of Edom will one day be punished. Those who have exalted themselves and placed their living in the mountains will be brought down by the one true God. We long for justice. And these words promise us this, that one day our wounds will begin to heal. Destruction that has left us raw, open, and vulnerable will soon be turned into blessing. God's word to us promises us that soon Edom will be no more. That we will be like fire that burns through those who have rightfully taken what was ours. The fire of God that has judged Israel throughout centuries will now be us. And that fire will consume Edom until our enemies are no more. But not only do these words promise judgment to our enemies, but they also promise us that the day of the Lord is coming. A day where things will be rightly ordered again. The day of the Lord is near for all nations, says Obadiah. A day where all things will be restored to how they should be. Where we can have relationship with God and once again worship him in our own land. the land promised to us, God's people. The day where we will reclaim our lands and begin to restore our lives to what they were, when the vineyard of Israel, my people, will begin to bear fruit again, where all that has been lost will be regained. My people look forward to the one who will come and restore Israel. We look forward to a king who will rule in power and strength and might. In his reign, there will be justice, freedom, and our enemies will no longer be able to defeat us. In him, what has been lost will be found again. The day of the Lord will bring about all that God has planned for us. God is faithful to his people. Even in the midst of an exile which would draw the Israelites to repentance, God was faithfully at work redeeming his chosen people. As I prepared to preach this week, I couldn't help but be encouraged by God's promise of restoration to his people, to the people that Obadiah spoke this prophecy to. In spite of the circumstances where I'm sure it would have been very easy to doubt God's faithfulness, and it would have been hard for the Israelites to hear and then believe these words of prophecy, God's sovereignty and perfect plan was steadfast and sure. It would have encouraged them that he was in control. In the same way that God was at work in redeeming his chosen people, God has provided us with redemption in the cross. Even in our sinfulness, if we have chosen Christ, then the Father has reconciled and restored us to himself. However, the judgment to Edom is also a warning to us. If we are so prideful that we don't see our need for God, if we have other idols before God and place things before where God should be, then in the same way, we face separation from our Creator. I wonder where this message finds you. Perhaps this has been a week where you've struggled to see how God is faithfully at work, or even in control. This word from God promises us that regardless of circumstance, despite the trials you might be facing, and even when you do not understand what is going on around you, God is still faithful and God is still in control. In a year where COVID has completely destabilized life as we know it, where each week is unpredictable, and we're just one government announcement away from another lockdown, God is still in control, and he is faithful to his people. Where life takes unexpected turns, where we can't see how God is at work in each of our situations, or when the future is often unclear, or even, to be honest, sometimes terrifying, God is still in control, and he is faithful to his people. Where work is unstable, or perhaps you have lost your job, where school has been turned upside down and you've all got to learn in a completely different way now, where relationships have been tested in the chaos of change, God is still in control, and he is faithful to his people. In a week where many of us will vote to elect leaders that will govern our country, for the next 3 years. And do go and vote and use this privilege in a way which is guided by conscience and shaped by Scripture, where we will elect leaders that will quite probably not honor God with every decision they make. God is still the one in control, and He is faithful to His people. Would you stand with me as I close? I'd like to read Psalm 146 over us to finish before we sing together. The very words which I think Israel would have spoken to one another, and words that I think aptly draw us to worship in response to the faithfulness of God that we see in this book. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes and human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But He frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.